It is so very good to see everybody who is here this morning. I know we have quite a few out in the parking lot. As a matter of fact, we have so many that we ran out of printed songs. So that's good to know that we have that many people worshiping God together with us this morning. For about a month and a half now, I've been doing a series of lessons, usually in the evening, on how the New Covenant, the New Testament, is meant to be understood and used. I finished that series actually last Sunday evening with a sermon on how the Son of God used the Word of God. Now that we have laid down a basic foundation of how the New Testament, how the New Covenant is meant to be applied in our lives as Christians, now I think we're ready to go on to the next step. And that is now a beginning of a study of the Church of Christ. And the opening sermon here in this series is entitled, Understanding What the Church of Christ Is. I'm going to start this sermon by going over to Matthew chapter 16. I'm actually going to read from my Bible now. I have just a couple of verses here on the overhead. But I'd like to go to my Bible right now and read from Matthew chapter 16. And I'm going to start reading here in verse 13. When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? So they said, Some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. But he said to them, But who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered and said, You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said to him, Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say unto you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. The text here is actually the very first time you find anywhere in the New Testament where the word church is used. If you do a study of Jesus' teaching, you will find that the primary teaching of Jesus was repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The primary subject of Jesus' teaching was the kingdom. And so this is actually the very first time that Jesus, in his entire ministry in the scriptures that are recorded, uses the word church. And so we're going to take this text this morning and we're going to take it and break it down to come to understand exactly what this text teaches and what it means. And so he says, what I've got underlined for you here, on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it, and I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. I'm going to take these phrases now and just break them down literally a couple of words at a time. First of all, he says, upon this rock. The rock he's talking about is not Peter. Please do not believe that. Peter is not the foundation of the church. Jesus never said he was going to be the foundation of the church. Peter's name, Petros, means small stone. I like picking up small stones and throwing them. Peter was a Petros. Jesus is a Petra. He is an immovable rock. And the comment that Jesus is making here about Peter is pertaining to what Peter said about Jesus. Simon Peter answered and said, You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. That is what the church is built on. It is built on the fact that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the anointed one of God. He is the Son of the living God. The virgin birth did indeed take place with Mary, and Jesus is the Son of God. Going over to 1 Corinthians now, chapter 10 and verse 4. And all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. I wanted to put this particular text in here because the word rock here, again, is Petra. Peter's name is Petros, a small stone that you can throw. When Jesus says upon this rock, he uses the Greek word Petra. It is an immovable rock. Jesus is the Petra. That rock, that Petra, was Christ. Christ is the foundation of the church, not Peter. Let's go further now. 1 Corinthians 3, 9 through 11. I'm reading this one from the outline. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. According to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds on it. Let each one of us take heed how he builds on it. Now look at verse 11. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. The foundation of the church, the rock upon which the church is built, is Jesus. And the fact that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Everything rests upon that reality. The next phrase you find is he says, upon this rock I will build. Jesus is going to be the one who is going to build the church. From Isaiah chapter 9, 6 through 7, here you have a prophecy about the Christ and his kingdom. The text says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. And upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, and notice this, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Here, the Messiah, the Christ, the King that is coming in the future, the King over the kingdom, speaking about his kingdom, he is going to be the one who is going to order it. He is going to be the one who is going to establish it. The kingdom, as you're going to be seeing, is the church. Jesus is the one who is going to order the church. That is, he's going to be the one to decide exactly what it's going to be like. The organization of the church is not left up to us to decide how it's meant to be. The organization of the church is laid down by the Christ himself. He's the one who lays out the order of the church. And we go on with that. We study the worship of the church. Who's the one who decides how we're going to worship? It's the Christ. What's going to be the work of the church? The Christ. He's the one that guides us in all of our functioning as the church. Another way of looking at it again is the kingdom. He's the king of the kingdom. And the king tells the citizens of the kingdom how they're supposed to do it. You'll find this when you go over to Acts chapter 2. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 47, here you're coming to the close of the chapter. And this is where Peter does receive the keys of the kingdom. We'll come back to that in a moment. And he preaches to them about Jesus being the Christ, the Son of God. They believe this, and they want to know what they need to do. Peter tells them to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. But look at verse 47. Praising God, having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Okay. Who is it that adds individuals to the church? Jesus. He is the one who established it. He is the one who is ordering it. Every individual who is going to be added to the church that Jesus is building is going to be added to it by Jesus. If Jesus doesn't add you to his church, you're not in it. I cannot emphasize that anymore. He is the one who orders it. He is the one who adds every single individual who is saved to it. All the church is, brethren, is the saved. Now listen real close, I'm about to tell you. The church doesn't save. The church is the saved. It is those that are saved. And Jesus is adding those that are saved to the church. And notice the next phrase he says there, upon this rock I will build my church. Going over to Acts 20 and verse 28. Therefore take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. The church of God, all of those that are saved, we have all been purchased by the blood of the Christ. We belong to God. We belong to Christ. We have been bought with a price. We have been purchased with the blood of the Christ. So when you see a sign in front of a building such as this one that says Church of Christ, that is not a denominational name. That is a designation understanding that the Christians here that are saved are part of the church that Jesus is building. And it belongs to him. Church of, church belonging to God, church belonging to Christ. This church, this local assembly, it belongs to God. It belongs to church. It belongs to Jesus, excuse me. It doesn't belong to me. It doesn't belong to you. It belongs to God. It's his church. Colossians 1:18, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning of the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. Okay, right now my body's up here, and I have the head on top of my body. All the movements that my hand are making right now, all the words that are coming out of my mouth right now, they're all being controlled completely by my head. You cut the head off, the body's going to drop and be dead and do nothing. The idea of Jesus being the head of the body of the church, again, is the concept of him being the king of the kingdom. He's the one who orders it. He's the one who establishes it. He's the one who adds every individual who is in it to it whenever they use the keys of the kingdom. Coming over to Hebrews now, chapter 12. The next phrase, he says, the gates of Hades will not prevail against it, talking about his church. Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. In Hebrews 12, verses 28 to 29, we learn something about the kingdom, the church. He says, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. The kingdom that we have received, look at what he says about it. It cannot be shaken. Earthly kingdoms come and go. Where is the Babylonian Empire with Nebuchadnezzar? He's dead. It's gone. Where is the Medo-Persian Empire with Cyrus the Great? He's dead. It's gone. Where is the Grecian Empire, the Macedonian Empire with Alexander the Great? He's dead. It's gone. Where's the Roman Empire with the Caesars? They're dead. It's gone. Where's the kingdom of Jesus the Christ? He's alive, and it's still here. And regardless of what happens on this planet and in history, his kingdom cannot be shaken. It will endure forever. That's the difference. We are citizens of a kingdom that cannot be shaken. The country in which we live, unfortunately, it can be shaken. And you need to realize there may come a time when the United States of America as we knew it is gone. I hope it doesn't come in my lifetime or in a long time, but that's probably coming in the future. However, I am a citizen of another kingdom. And my king is righteous, and justice comes from him, and only justice and truth comes from him. And his kingdom is eternal, and his reign is eternal, and it cannot be shaken. Not only that, going over to Revelation 1, 18 through 19. I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades and death. As I've told you earlier, our king is alive forevermore. But more importantly, when he died and rose from the dead, after he rose from the dead, according to Hebrews 2, he conquered death. And the one who has the power of death, that being Satan, and has freed us from bondage to Satan, sin, and death. Listen to me, brethren. Because Jesus rose from the dead, he now has control over the realms of Hades. He is not only Lord of heaven and earth, he is Lord of Hades as well. And he has the keys to Hades and death. And you need to understand this. Keys are what open the gates. The gates of Hades will not prevail against the church of Christ. We will come busting out, folks, because he has the keys. The gates of Hades will not prevail against the church of Christ. 1 Corinthians 15, 22 to 23. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive, but each one in his own order. Christ the first fruits, afterward those who are Christ at his coming. Jesus is the first fruits to rise from the dead, to receive the spiritual body, to never die again. When the Lord comes again, all mankind is going to rise from the dead. And judgment day is going to take place. Those who are in Christ, those who are citizens of his kingdom, those that are Christians in his church, will rise to eternal life. We will be given a spiritual body, and we will be with God forever in heaven. Death will be conquered, and the gates of Hades will bust open, and all therein will come forth. Part of it to condemnation, part of it to eternal life. And then he says in verse 19, I will give you the keys of the kingdom. I just told you earlier he has the keys to Hades and death. What do keys do? They open up the gates. The keys to the kingdom are how you get into the kingdom. What Jesus is promising Peter and the apostles is that he is going to give them what they need to become citizens of the kingdom. In Acts chapter 2, Paul preaches what we call the first gospel sermon. He talks about the miracles that Jesus has done. He talks about the prophecies of the Christ. And then he talks about the resurrection of Jesus, of which they are witnesses. What he is doing is proving to them that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that they, with their wicked hands, have taken the Christ and crucified him. And that now he is raised from the dead. He's at the right hand of God. And this Jesus God has made both Lord and Christ. And when they hear this, they're cut to the heart. They cry out, men and brethren, what shall we do? And here's the answer. Then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. What I want you to see here is Acts chapter 2 in the gospel is the keys to the kingdom. Here they are being given the keys to the kingdom. The gospel is the keys to the kingdom. I've showed you this verse earlier in Acts 2:47. Praising God, having favor with the people, with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily those who are being saved. If you go back to verse 41, those who gladly received his word were baptized. Those who were baptized, the Lord added them to the church. And who were those that were being added to the church? It was those that were being saved. Remember what I told you earlier? The church is the saved. I'll put it to you this way. Mark 16:16, he who believes and is baptized will be saved. But he who does not believe will be condemned. Whenever you obey the gospel, whenever you come to the point of having faith, and you are willing to confess your faith, and then motivated by your faith, you are repenting and being baptized for the remission of your sins, that is when the Lord adds you to the church. Because at that point in time, you are saved. He who believes and is baptized is saved. And because you are saved, you are now being added to all of those who are saved. I'm going to go off on a brief tangent here. Whenever we're trying to explain to people that we are the Church of Christ, quite frankly, they don't get it. They think in a denominational sense. Whenever I was preaching in Czechoslovakia decades ago, people would always say, well, what are you? And I would say, I'm a Christian. And they go, okay, I know that, but what are you? And I would say, well, I'm a member of the body of Christ. And they go, okay, but what are you? And I would go, I'm a Christian. And you could just start seeing them getting a little irritated. And they go, well, I understand that, but what are you? And I said, I understand your question, but as soon as I answer it the way you want me to answer it, you're not going to understand what I'm saying to you. you're going to hear something differently than what I'm trying to communicate to you. I'm a member of the Church of Christ. Oh, okay, I got you. What did they just do? They pigeonholed me in some denominational concept. And that is not what I'm trying to communicate or say at all, folks. There is only one church. There is only one body. There's only one kingdom. And all it is the saved. So if someone ever says to me, do you think only the Church of Christ is going to heaven? I'm going to answer that, yes. I'll put you the question another way. Is only the saved going to be saved? Yes. That's all I'm saying. I'm a member of the saved. Of all the saved. All the saved that are added to the saved constitute the church. Constitute the body. Constitute the kingdom. There's only one body. There's only one kingdom. There's only one church. And it is the saved. And so, yes, only the saved are going to be saved. So you want to make sure that the Lord Jesus Christ has added you to the saved, because that constitutes the church. And if the Lord has added you to the saved, you are a member of the Church of Christ. You are a member of the body of Christ. You are a citizen in the kingdom of Christ, because the Lord has added you to his saved, to his church, to his body, to his kingdom, because you have obeyed his gospel. Let's go further with this. Mark 1, 14 through 15. Now, after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, and saying, the time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel of God. Now, I'm putting this verse up here again because I'm going back to what I told you in the introduction. In Matthew 16, when Jesus says, upon this rock I will build my church, this is the very first time Jesus ever uses the word church in his ministry in the written revelation. Before this, you will find what Jesus talks about and what he preaches about is the kingdom of God. And that the time is at hand. The kingdom of God is at hand. Let me tell you something. When he says something is at hand, here's my hand. That means it's not far away. And then he talks about it further. He talks about those that are going to be repent and believing in the gospel. What is it that we believe in the gospel? We believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And we're willing to confess that faith. And then we're willing to repent and follow the word of God by faith. And then submit to the command of the king and be baptized into his kingdom, his body, his church. Let me share another verse on this. In John 3, verse 5, talking about the kingdom of God, Jesus answered, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of the water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Okay. I will give you the keys to the kingdom. Keys are what open doors. Keys are how you enter in. Here he's talking about entering into the kingdom of God. And he tells you very plainly, unless you're born of the water and the Spirit, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. What I've tried to show you is Acts chapter 2 in the gospel is the keys to the kingdom. When he's talking about being born of water, folks, he's talking about baptism. The way it's referred to in Titus chapter 3, verse 5. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he has saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. Listen to that phrase, washing of regeneration, rebirth, if you will. It is baptism. You're all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus, for as many of you have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. That's Galatians 3. And so what I'm trying to show you is you have to be born of the water. You have to have the washing of regeneration. You have to be baptized into Christ in order to enter the kingdom of God. If you don't use the keys, you can't get in the kingdom. Going further with this, in Acts chapter 8, 12 through 13. And when they believed Philip as he was preached the things concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized. Now look at what Philip was preaching here. He was talking about things concerning what? The kingdom. And then he talked about the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ. Notice this, folks. Jesus Christ. Christ is not his last name. I'm Wayne Fancher. He's not Jesus Christ. That's like his last name. No, Christ is what he is. He is the Christ of the kingdom. He is the King of the kingdom. He is the Messiah of the kingdom. And they believe that he was the Christ of the kingdom. And those who believe that Jesus is the King of the kingdom, what did they do? Both men and women were baptized. They believed and were baptized. Kind of sounds familiar, doesn't it? He who believes and is baptized will be saved. Whenever you believe and you're baptized, you are then a citizen in the kingdom with Jesus as your king and his word as your law. Let's go further. 1 Corinthians 15:24. Then comes the end when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father, when he puts an end to all rule and all authority and power. What I want you to see in this particular verse is when the end comes, what is Jesus going to do with the kingdom? He's going to deliver the kingdom to God the Father. Folks, when the resurrection takes place and Judgment Day takes place, the kingdom, the saved, are not going to be coming down. We're going to be going up. We're going to be delivered to God the Father to be with God the Father forever in heaven. The kingdom already exists. Jesus is King of kings and Lord of lords now. He's reigning now. The last enemy to be destroyed is going to be death. And the kingdom is going to be delivered to God the Father. Everything you see around you is temporary. What we do not see, it is eternal. The kingdom of God and the spiritual body that I believe by faith is coming in the future, it is eternal. There's only going to be one thing carried over from this phase of existence, from this world, to the new heaven and the new earth. There's only going to be one thing carried over to heaven to be with God forever. You know what that's going to be? The church, the kingdom, the body of Christ, the saved. Only the saved, the kingdom, the body, the church will be with God in heaven forever. That's why you want to make absolutely sure you're part of it. Colossians 1:18, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. So again, who is it that is order and establishing the body? Now we're talking about the term body. We've been studying the kingdom. Now we're coming back to the body. Who's the head of the body? Jesus is the head of the body, the church. And we'll close with 1 Corinthians 12:13. How do you get into this one body? For by one spirit we were all baptized into one body. Whether Jews or Greek, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one spirit. Okay, let's tie it together. Upon this rock I will build my church. The rock upon which the church is built is the fact that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. He is the foundation of the church and not Peter. And so Jesus is the foundation of the church. It is his church. It belongs to God. It belongs to Jesus. It has been purchased with the blood of Christ. And he is the one who is ordering it, establishing it, and building it. Every living stone that is added to the house of God is added by Jesus Christ. Every Christian that is added to his church is added by Jesus Christ. All I'm doing is saying the same thing to you different ways. Let's look at what I'm trying to teach you here. First of all, the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. The kingdom of God cannot be shaken on this earth. It will continue on for all the way to the end. And even when Judgment Day comes, Hades will not be able to keep us in. Because of the resurrection of Jesus, we're going to rise from the dead to eternal life. But then he says in verse 19, I will give you the keys to the kingdom. The keys were given in Acts 2. And Acts 2 is the preaching of the first gospel sermon, proving that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that he has arisen from the dead, and that he's at the right hand of God. Those who repented and were baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus added them to his church because they are now saved. The church is the saved. You cannot be saved without using the keys to the kingdom. Whenever Philip was preaching about the kingdom and Jesus being the Christ, those who believed were baptized, and as a consequence of that, they were saved and made citizens of the kingdom, Christians in the church, members of the one body. How do you enter into the one body, the church? You're baptized into one body. So I will close this by nailing this down. When I am saying I'm a member of the Church of Christ, I'm not talking about the local congregation per se. I'm talking about the one body. What we have on our sign out there is to designate that all of us are members of that one body. And that there is one church, one kingdom. We are citizens of that kingdom, members of that body, Christians in that church, because all of us are saved, because we have all used the same keys to the kingdom. And when you obey the gospel, you enter into the kingdom of God. The Lord Jesus adds you as a saved individual to his one church, one body, one kingdom. That's what we mean when we say, I am a member of the Church of Christ. Thank you for your kind attention. If there's anybody here this morning who is not a member of the one body, the kingdom of Jesus the Christ, the church of Christ, if you have heard the word preached and you have come to the point of having your own faith, if you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, be willing to openly confess your faith and, motivated by your faith, make the commitment of repentance, that is to follow the word of God by faith in your life with Jesus as your King. If you are willing to make that great commitment, we'll be glad to assist you and baptize you into Christ, into the one body. The Lord Jesus will add you as a saved individual to his church. If you're already in the body of Christ, already in his church, already a Christian, but you realize that there's sin that is in your life that is separating you from God, sin you have not dealt with, we want to encourage you to have the godly sorrow enough to repent of it. We as your family will pray for you, we'll pray with you. We will really do the best we can to try to encourage you and strengthen you to help you live more faithfully in the future than you have in the past. If you are subject to the gospel call in any way whatsoever, let us know while we stand and sing the song that Jay has selected.